Pastor Xavier Rees on the best defense in our susceptibilities.
He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. This is a very interesting proverb because it speaks of vulnerability. It speaks about having no defenses. I think it's wisdom for you to know your weaknesses. Number one, to work on them, to strengthen them. Number two, to stay away from them. Third of all, know that Satan is going to hit those weak walls. You have to make sure that your walls are up.
Welcome to Simple Truths, the daily half-hour study of God's Word with Xavier Rees, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. Life has many seasons. For example, you may recall when your son or daughter left home to head off to college and then begin their own adult life. What advice did you send them off with? Today, as he continues his exploration of the book of Proverbs, Pastor Xavier shares the simple truths that you and your children can use from this very practical section of the Scriptures. He begins with some words of introduction for Proverbs chapter 25.
We come now to the third division of the Proverbs. The first one was from chapter 1 to chapter 9, where wisdom was personified and folly was expounded. Key words that have come through the Proverbs is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that's the purpose of a proverb, that the young man would receive knowledge, that it would be understood, and if it has been understood, that it would be brought forth in wisdom as it was applied. And that through that, the benefit would come forth to have discretion as he walks through this life, that he wouldn't be ensnared by the deception of Satan, of the evil man, common reference to the fool, the simple one, and yet the contrast of that is the godly man, the righteous man that walks with God, being obedient to the Word of God. The second division was chapter 10 through 24, which we've covered in the past weeks, and there expounds the Proverbs, some very interesting, some kind of difficult at first. And yet as we search them out and we study them, we see how much wisdom there's in them. Now in chapter 25, as we said, the third division, and now this is a collection of the Proverbs of Solomon by the men of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, who copied them out. Some of these Proverbs, they're going to be repetitious of those that we've covered, not many, but some. Hezekiah, 300 years after Solomon, now takes up and seeks out the Proverbs of Solomon to compile some of them together. And it's interesting that as God pours out His Spirit upon different ages and at different times, there is always a renewal of the Scriptures. And it is a renewal and a searching of the Scriptures that brings about change in society. We see it through the reign of Hezekiah. We see it through the Reformation or the revival of Josiah. We see it when Nehemiah brought the Jews from the captivity and he read the law, and it was the Word was the source of that vision, of that enlightenment, of that seeking out for God. And whenever men and women give their lives to search out the things of God, their lives will become productive. Their lives will become effective. Their lives will become of good to those around them. And so we see here the evidence of those men that were being led of God. The Septuagint version says the friends of Hezekiah. Here it says the men of Hezekiah, whether it was the men of Hezekiah, whether it was the friends of Hezekiah, perhaps some of the prophets, it really is irrelevant. The fact is that some of these proverbs are compiled against here. And again, these are only some of the proverbs of Solomon. Because if you recall, remember in 1 Kings chapter 4, Solomon was a very prolific man. In chapter 4 of 1 Kings, I believe verse 32, it says, "And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees and of cedar trees, that of the Lebanon, even unto the hyssop and the springing out of the wall. And he spake also of beasts and of fowls and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came out of all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom." Solomon was quite a man, very, very wise. And yet in his wisdom he became a fool. The book of Ecclesiastes is a very interesting book. It's one of the books of poetry, along with Proverbs, Job, Song of Solomon, the Psalms. And we see there a man that was wise by the gift of God, a man that was blessed by God, and yet he chose to experience life to the fullest, only to come to his old age and to regret what he did and to conclude that all was vanity, vanity, vexation of spirit, and that nothing was new under the sun. You know, that's one of the biggest lies of every generation, that Satan says, hey, you know, nobody knows what's happening. Nobody's experienced what we're experiencing. We've developed something new. No, you just call it different, but it's been done before. And that was the conclusion of Solomon. So here we have this man that was so wise, leaving so much evidence. Again, these Proverbs are just a fraction of those that he spoke. And yet here we have the collection of those of the men of Hezekiah. Let's get into them. Verse 2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out matters. In other words, God is so deep and he knows all things, so he doesn't have to really search out to know, because he's all-knowing, he's omniscient. He knows everything that can be known, and when Adam sinned, it wasn't any surprise or any great tragedy in terms of catching him by surprise, because he knew it. But yet it says that the wisdom or the honor of kings is to search all matters out. In other words, don't make rash decisions unless you have all the facts. We as people have to search the truth out. Many times when information comes to us, it's only partial truth. Have you ever noticed when people come and they say, well, you know, I want to share something with you. I want to ask you something. They only give you partial truth. Before you take action, make sure you hear all things out. And here's the wisdom of a king, that he searches all things out because he's not God. He doesn't know everything. And the gospel says that Christ did not commit himself to many men because he knew what was in the heart of man. And he knew all men. Verse 3 says, the heavens for height, the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Verse 4 and 5 are together now. They're a little couplet here. It says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the refiner. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. So in other words, the dross is that was been taken away from purification, and what you got left is silver, which is just pure, and it's of value. You take the wicked away from before the king, and you have a throne that's established, and there's justice, there's righteous judgment, everything flows together. And there's a contrast there, similarities. 6 and 7 is equally coupled together. It says, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Jesus kind of pointed this out as he says, when you are bidden to a feast, don't sit in the front row, lest someone come and say, sorry, fellow, we've got a guest that's more honorable than you. Would you take the back seat? And then you're abased, and because you've exalted yourself. He says, he that abases himself shall be exalted, and he that exalts himself shall be abased. And we have to remember that all the time, because it's so easy to become almost familiar with one another that we take for granted who we really are. And then situations happen many times, and we put ourselves in awkward predicaments, and then we're kind of humbled, and our pride rises up, and bad feelings occur. And here is wisdom from the Proverbs. Verse 8 is alone, he says, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. In other words, think through everything, what you're going to say, what you're going to do. Try to think through the consequences, let you meddle to your own hurt. Remember that king in the Old Testament? He went out to battle and he wiped out a king, and then he called the other king and says, come on, let's look at each other face to face. And he says, now listen, you've been a good boy and you've beat this guy. Why don't you just go home and just celebrate that and don't count your chickens before they hatch? Paraphrased. And he said, no, come on and let's look at each other face to face. And he says, why would you meddle to your own hurt? He came out, he wiped him out. Well, this is what this proverb is saying. Don't meddle to your own hurt. Think things through. 9 and 10 are coupled together. Again, it says, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself and discover not a secret to another. In other words, you've got a problem with an individual, go to him. Don't go tell somebody else so that you can infect them or so you can start gossip. You have something, and I think Jesus Christ illustrated this also in the New Testament, and it's given to us that if you have a cause against your brother, you have something wrong, or you find something, go by one, then by two, then by three, and then if not, bring before the elders of the church and have it taken care of. But do it in such a way that the least amount of people know, and if it's taken care of between you and him, nobody else has to know, and it's put away. And that's what he's speaking about here. Verse 11, he says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. This is something that is really valuable to all of us. Hopefully this becomes a reality in our life the longer we live and the older we get. It is so easy to be rash with our mouths, especially when we're young, because we feel that we know everything and or we've known enough or whatever it may be. And zealousness is good, but if you don't have knowledge, that zealousness can be destructive. And it's so beautiful when a person is found in a situation and someone knows exactly what to say. You know, sometimes there's the danger of having knowledge without wisdom. I think Peter exemplified that very much when they went up on the mountain of Transfiguration and he saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus. He says, oh, it's good that we're here. Should we build a tabernacle? One for you, one for him, one for, you know, and he says, oh, shut up, Peter. You know, we should choose our words. You know, sometimes people are hurting and really the best thing we can do is shut up. But because we're Christians and we're supposed to have an answer, we feel we have to say something. And many times the wrong thing. And when we open our mouth, that it's for edification, it's for healing, it's for direction. And this is what the proverb is speaking about here. Verse 12 says, as an earring of gold and an ornament and a fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. In other words, he's valuable. It goes the same along the same line as verse 11. It's nice to have people around like that. They're not only good to hang around, but they're valuable. Verse 13, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refresheth the soul of his master. I think it's self-explanatory there. Verse 14 says, whoso boasted himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. In other words, they don't do anybody any good. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. In other words, diligence and patience. The soft tongue, it can really break a man. You know, a lot of times when we're wrong or we're trying to do something, many times what we're trying to do is get a reaction out of somebody so we can justify our position. And when someone doesn't respond or react the way I expected them to, I don't know how to handle it. You know, when people want to get your goat and they want you to just blow it and get in the flesh, and all of a sudden you say, well, praise the Lord, and they go, you know, and they're already ready to jump on you because they're already expecting you to react a certain way. And when you don't, and when it comes to the things of the Lord, they just break. And that's what it's speaking about here. Verse 16 says, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. In other words, don't make a pig of yourself. Eat what's needful, not all you can. You know, many times as Christians, we say, well, you know, it's a sin to drink. It's a sin to have sex outside of marriage. Do you know that it's a sin to overeat? And when we go to the works of the flesh, we never include that in there, do we? It's the same. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you have to watch all everything you eat. You know, everybody has the right to make a pig of themselves once in a while. But if that's your manner of life, then you're not really respecting the temple of the Holy Ghost. You should take care of your body as much as you can. The Bible has much to say about gluttony. Verse 17, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. In other words, know when you wore out your welcome. Okay? Be sensitive. Or they got to go somewhere. You just come and you say, oh, you going somewhere? Yeah, well, I was just out the door and you're going, oh, this and that, and you're taking your time and they're hurt. Get the message. Go home. This commentator said, three things after 3 days stink: company and fish. Verse 18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, a sword, and a sharp arrow. A maul is a hammer. Damage, destruction. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You can't chew and you can't walk. So is that unfaithful man in time of trouble. You can't depend upon him. Verse 20, as he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth song to a heavy heart. In other words, be sensitive. When someone is hurting, hey, you know, it's like somebody trying to sing a sad song with a happy face. Well, you can't. You gotta have the face along with the song. Okay, so the same thing, being sensitive, you know. Somebody's hurting, they'll say, come on, brother, what's the matter with you? You're a son of God, get up! Where's your faith? Maybe it would be a lot better if you put your arm around him and you wept with him. Verse 21 says, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Jesus said basically the same thing on the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5. He says, if you feed your enemy, if he's thirsty, give him to drink. So we see here Jesus actually quoting from Solomon. Paul picks it up also in Romans chapter 12. Now many people, I've read many interpretations, and the most common about thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, meaning that if you're nice to them, you'll get them all mad. But that can't be it, because that would mean that God rejoices when you get somebody's goat. The reference here is for good. And that the reference to heaping coals upon their head was that if they need fire, the greatest thing you can do in those days, the way they started their fire, was to go to a neighbor and grab a coal and take it to your house and start your fire. In other words, you would give them what they need. Okay, and I believe that's the proper meaning here. And if it isn't, it's got to be for good, not for evil. Now, verse 23 says, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. You see someone backbiting, don't just pass it up. Let him know that you disapprove. Maybe he'll quit. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. You don't even want to go one round with her. Just get out of the ring. Solomon has much to say, and you can't blame him. He had 1,000 of them. Verse 25, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. It's always good when you're down and you get some kind of good news, especially if it's what is depressing you or what is keeping you worried. Paul speaks to the Corinthians how he was perplexed about their condition, but when Titus came to him, he was edified and he was rejoicing because he had heard of their condition and their situation. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. In other words, when you see a godly man turn to corruption, then there's contamination to others, and it's a tragedy. It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not good. Okay? It's okay if someone speaks well of you, but when you start speaking well of yourself, you're in trouble. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. This is a very interesting proverb because it speaks of vulnerability. It speaks about having no defenses. Now, I'll leave you to your own searching. What are your walls that are torn down? Maybe you have a temper and you can't control it, and every little thing flares you up and you seem to lose it all the time. And you really don't do anything to build up those walls. As a matter of fact, you're kind of content to leave those walls down because it's your cop-out and your excuse. And maybe you say, well, you know, we're Latins and this and that, or we're Italians, you know, we got bad temper. No, you just got a lot of flesh. You've got to learn to live in the Spirit and put those walls up, lest that very weakness ends up destroying you. Maybe it's the area of lust. And instead of building those walls up, you're kind of glad they're down. You just are indifferent, you ignore them. A man that has not control, as it says here, rule over his spirit is like a city broken with walls down. They're broken down, there's no defense. He's open for the attack of the enemy. You have to make sure that your walls are up, and you also have to know which are your weak walls so you can fortify them and so that you don't go climbing them if they're weak. I think it's wisdom for you to know your weaknesses. Number one, to work on them, to strengthen them. Number two, to stay away from them. And to also, third of all, know that Satan is going to hit those weak walls, if there's any walls at all. So you lift your heart to the Lord and see where it is that you have no walls. What's your Achilles heel? Where does Satan get you all the time? You better start building those walls. Chapter 26, verse 1, he says, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. In other words, it's out of place. To give honor to a fool is out of place, as much as snow would be in the summer, or like it says in the proverb there. As a bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse costless shall not come. Now this has reference to someone laying a curse on you. There are a lot of Christians that are still superstitious when they come to the Lord, and maybe they're witnessing to somebody that's in the occult, and they say, I'm going to curse you, man. And they get all petrified, oh, he's going to put a hex on me. You know? He says, hey, it's just like the bird that is wandering, or the swallow that flies overhead. He's just going to fly. Nothing's going to happen. He's just going to fly over your head. No big deal. In other words, nobody can curse you. Remember Balaam? He tried to curse the children of Israel. And Balaam clapped his hands. He says, shut up altogether. I've called you to curse these people, and you've blessed them all these times. Balaam says, didn't I tell you I can't curse who God's blessed? Doesn't the New Testament say greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? Doesn't he say I'm in the palm of his hands? And one hand of Jesus, the other one of the Father, I'm in better hands than all state. So don't get caught up with these people that threaten you or curse you. Nothing can happen to you unless God allows it. And if God allows it, he'll give you the way of escape. Verse 3 says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, a rod for the fool's back. Take your pick. Are you a horse, are you an ass, or are you a fool? What's going to straighten you out? Verse 4 and 5 are coupled together. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now, on the surface they appear the same, but in the Hebrew they're not. Verse 4 says, do not answer a fool according to his manner of his folly, so that he doesn't think you're a fool like him, or that you think like him. Verse 5 says, reprove him, answer him according to his folly, lest he think that you're some kind of turnip that just fell off the truck and you don't know what's happening. Okay? In other words, expose him. Verse 6, he says, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. In other words, it doesn't do any good, as to your hurt. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. In other words, it doesn't measure up. It doesn't make any sense. The words and deed are not equal. You take a man that's lame, one leg's longer than the other. Well, so is a fool. You know, he may say something, but what he does is two different things. Verse 8, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. In other words, if you put a stone in a sling and keep swinging it around, if you're not going to use it, so is honor to a fool. It doesn't do any good. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. In other words, the drunkard, because he is unaware of what's happening and he puts his hand somewhere and a thorn goes in his hand and it's to his hurt, without knowing it, so as he speaks with a parable, thinking that he knows what he's talking about, it only adds to his own hurt, because he doesn't understand it himself. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressor. Whatever you sow to, that you will also reap.
Pastor Xavier Rees, with a practical reminder of the difference between wise and foolish choices, from today's edition of Simple Truths. And you can hear this message again anytime online by simply selecting today's date at the radio listings link you'll find at calvarychapelpasadena.com. But there's much more to come right here next time as well. Now, if your schedule won't permit you to tune in, though, you can pick up your own personal copy of this message. The title to ask for is Proverbs, chapters 25 through 30. It's available on CD for only $4. And make sure you share these truths by passing on this study to someone in your church or Bible study once you're through. So once again, the title to ask for is Proverbs, chapters 25 through 30. Or simply mention today's date. You can request your copy by writing Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. Or to make your request by phone, call 800-926-4000. 800-926-1485. Again, that's 800-926-1485. Or the address once again is Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. And thanks for mentioning the call letters of this station when you get in touch. This helps us track the effectiveness of this ministry in your area. And then join us for more Simple Truths next time with Pastor Xavier Reese. Simple Truths with Pastor Xavier Reese, a daily half-hour broadcast, is a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. www.calvarychapelpasadena.com.